seasoned gentleman, I give to you the Dandy Show, insights and wanderings of two random minds.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome along to another episode of the Dandy Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to have you around. So, previously, Damien and myself have talked about how deep we are, so we thought that one of the things we could do is look at maybe the top 10 philosophical questions that we could find on a website.
Yeah, we're going to take it to that next level.
And we're going to answer them as we go, so you guys might want to get out some pen and paper now, get ready to write down some of the stuff, because listening to this podcast may change your life.
That's right.
So, the first question is it worse to fail at something or never attempt it in the first place?
Ooh. I don't know, because it's pretty embarrassing when you fail in front of a crowd. Like, I don't know, but maybe if you hadn't had that experience.
Yeah. Oh, I just, it's pretty much on the, it's fine to fail at something if you're alone at home, unless you end up killing yourself, but, unless that's what you're trying to do, then you've succeeded. Don't ask me. It's a good, strong start to this one. But it's worse to fail in front of a lot of people, right? So if you are trying a backflip and you fail in front of your whole school, high school, and for the rest of all time you are known as the guy that failed a backflip, then that's pretty embarrassing and sticks with you, so you wouldn't want that experience. But if you try it at home and you mess up in front of no one and you don't do any serious damage, then what's the harm in trying?
That's true. And I suppose the upside of failing in front of a crowd is that it'll go straight on YouTube and it could become viral.
Yeah, and if you get viral enough, you get all the hits, you get all the money.
Yeah, you could.
Good call. So, basically, those are your options. Fail. Yeah, it's good to fail at something if you fail hard.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Fail hard.
But, yeah. And not attempting in the first place is an option a lot of people choose, I reckon.
Yeah. There's a... I quite like the idea of, I think there's a, someone out there that says that if you, you know, you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. So,
I definitely eat more after my failures.
Yeah, me too. So I learn more about my weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. So, number two?
Yeah, what's number two?
If you could choose just one thing to change about the world, what would it be?
That I was richer.
Okay. Please go on.
That's it. It's straight to the
point. But why? How would that make the world better?
Because I would do a lot of charity stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have like the Dame charity for people that can't read as well as other people. Charity.
It's a good charity.
Maybe a charity for people that were always picked last at sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. I think I would do that.
Okay, yeah. So it wouldn't just be about personal gains from being rich then?
No, there'd be a lot of personal gains as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess you're trying to make it better for the world.
Yeah, you've got to do, what is it, 10%? If you can do that, that 10% charity, get a bit of money back.
Oh yeah, so it's just about tax cuts for yourself.
You know, the coolest story I've heard about that is J.K. Rowling was on the billionaire list.
Yeah.
And she got taken off the year later because she'd given too much money to charity. Now, they didn't take her off because she gave money to charity. It was just because her net worth went below the billion.
Yeah.
Because she was given too much to charity. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's good, yeah.
She's pretty awesome with stuff like that.
Yeah, it's good that a few more rich people are becoming a bit more... What's the word?
Anthropological.
Yeah, like Bill Gates and that.
Bill Gates
trying to spend his fortune before he dies.
Yeah,
and
he's really good.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to have a chance at spending it on this poor person first, and then...
Charity begins in the home.
That's right. In the home with my Dr. Dre's on.
Yeah. I think I'd find it really hard if I suddenly came into a lot of money to be generous. I have ideas about how to be generous to people, but I really like to be generous to myself. So it might be one of those things for the first 5 years, I'd be focused on Davey, and then I'd be like, oh, I've still got a lot of money left over.
Yeah.
And not much going on. So I better be generous with that, maybe, and then I'll feel better about myself. It'll still be about me feeling better.
Yeah. I think there's an amount of money that surely once you get past a certain point, you couldn't spend all that, so you'd have to So they must have gone through all those stages, but the stage that we're thinking about is the initial first stage.
Yeah.
I'm sure that once you get past that initial stage, you're very giving.
Mm.
Yeah. But then again, Michael Jackson was, before he died and before he did his concerts, he was pretty broke, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's hard. You don't want to be like one of those guys either, right? Who, like, yeah. Mike Tyson or several professional athletes who get it all given to them too young and get used to that lifestyle, and then suddenly they're not earning that money anymore, but they're rolling on. Yeah. Apparently Allen Iverson is flat broke now, but in another 10 years he can get the last payout from his Reebok contract or something, but people are wondering if he'll make it that far because he's really depressed and living a bad lifestyle. And
is he still playing?
Yeah.
Or?
No, he was going to go play for the D-League for someone, but yeah, so there's risks to be taken. So what you want to do in that initial period when you've got all your money, Damien, is not blow it all and think this is the life I need to maintain, because one day you may not have that money.
No, and I'd rather, I think, yeah, when you're poorish, not poor, you're very careful, aren't you? So maybe you have a couple of weeks of being not careful, but then go back to being careful again.
Yeah, I wouldn't change me. It'll change me dramatically. Not only the way I look, but also, I don't think I'd be a good rich man.
No, I don't know.
What's about it on all stupid things? I would have a movie cinema in my house that had a spa pool in it.
Same, basketball courts.
Yeah.
Squash courts, which would be a lot more expensive to build, but like a squash court.
Yeah. Do you play squash?
Not really, no.
I'd get a polo rink in the middle of my house.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Imagine, do you know what we could do? It's polo's the thing with horses, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We could get Shetland ponies.
Yeah.
And play Shetland pony polo.
That'd be cool.
That would be pool awesome. Sticks or
something. Yeah. Oh, croquet mallets.
You'd use the normal... Yeah, croquet mallets. Yeah. I was going to say use the normal size.
But you're on a smaller pony, just hit the ground all the time.
But it'd be just like golf, having those huge long sticks.
Hit yourself in the face with the end of the stick, because it's... Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. I don't know what the one thing I'd change about the world is. Maybe that's deep. Your own poverty, we've already covered that. I would obviously make you rich if I could change one thing about the world.
Done. Let's do it.
And a slightly deeper note, maybe just people leave people alone. It feels like everyone's meddling in each other's business all the time. But you know what? Maybe you can just be in control of your country and we'll be in control of ours.
You'd probably have to get rid of Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook does cause a lot of problems.
A lot of meddling. Maybe not that worldly kind of, I'm going to blow your country up meddling that you're talking about. But when that does happen, people Facebook pictures of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of intolerance on Facebook. Intolerance on the internet in general. Like, because your face isn't necessarily two things. Like on Twitter, for example, you can create a handle called, I don't know, I hate Damien. Sorry about that one.
For those of us that are a bit dumb, what's a handle?
Well, it's just your name, your username.
You created like another name.
Like your online, your Twitter persona is your handle.
What's your Twitter persona?
I think it's just Dave Speed and I'm not very imaginative.
Big Daddy D?
No, that's my rap persona.
Big Daddy D said that. Oh, that's right.
Big Daddy D. That's my rap persona and the album should be released soon. I'm just auto-tuning the shit out of it right now.
Big Daddy D. You could do some hits from Annie. That would be cool.
Jay-Z's already done Hard Knock Life.
No, but you could do The Sun Comes Out Tomorrow with Big Daddy D.
The sun will come up. When? Tomorrow. That's right. So I think we've covered that. Number three, to what extent do you shape your own destiny and how much is down to fate?
My destiny's all controlled by other people.
That's true. But is that fate or just...
me being lazy. I'm not sure. Or me not taking ownership of my own life. It wouldn't be that.
No. You're all over your own life.
That's right. I need to ring and ask people if I'm all over my life.
Just give Donna a text, surely, you know.
I will. Yes. Done. No, apparently I'm not.
And shut it down. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that even when you feel like you're shaping your own destiny, that fate can play a part in it. I think it's probably a complex balance between the two.
know. Sometimes you feel like you're really in control, and everything's going like sweet.
Yeah.
And even if things are going kind of wrong, you're okay with it because it's still on the plan. But then others,
yeah,
things just happen that you just can't control. That's the you can control your own life, but you can't control what other people
do.
That affects your life.
No, and even if you were like, no, that's it, I'm just going to lock myself in my house,
yeah,
and not let anything happen, I'm going to be completely in control. Well, something can happen. Earthquake, power could go out, the grocery people might deliver the wrong groceries.
That's right, that'll hurt you.
Pretty serious stuff. So even when you're in control, there's an element of what's the universe going to give to you.
Yeah, so what I do is that I think that you just kind of have to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to basically say, yep, I'll just move on with that wee problem thing. And
yeah.
Yeah. So then are you in control, or are you letting that thing control you?
Well, you're in control by letting it take control.
Ah, so scary. Oh, my God.
I do love the way, though, as people in general, we can justify anything as we're still in control.
That's right.
I know. I'm still in control because I chose not to take control on this one.
Yeah. I saw an article the other day on TV. These two people talking about how they were getting away from the storm and their whole window had been blown in.
Yeah.
And they were nearly getting sucked out of that vacuum. And they were still, like, we had to go and get our photos of our family. And we had to get our dog, because he's very important. So they're still in control of that uncontrollable situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime there's change, there's always people wanting to take control through something. Yep, no, my whole organisation was ended. We went bust, but I packed up my desk really tidily into a box so that I can unpack that quickly onto my next desk. So I'd control the situation, I'm going to be fine.
That's right, and that's my life there. I'm going to move on with it.
Yeah.
Man, sounds really sad. Really sad, we nation of people.
Yeah. Does nature shape our personalities more than nurture?
So where you are as opposed to who brings you up?
Yeah. So is it all your body chemistry and everything that shapes who you are, or is it who's brought you up?
What do people say? I suppose people say it's a mixture of both, don't they?
Yeah. Personally, I feel that it's a lot to do with nurture, because that whatever environment you're brought up in gives you a chance to test all your nature stuff. So if it fosters what you are, then you grow, but it's the nurturing that's done that. But if it hinders that or forces you on another path, then I think as human beings, the human condition is that we change to adapt to whatever situation we're in.
Yeah.
So if you're in a really bad environment, then you change to adapt to coping in that environment.
So you can survive in that.
Yeah. Which will probably nurture the bad parts of your nature, potentially. Whereas if you're in this loving, then there's always that, oh, he's from such a lovely family, but he's turned out to be such an asshole.
Yeah.
So.
Don't talk to my family again.
Sorry. I'm sorry that. Well, your family think you're great.
Oh, they love me.
It's just me.
How could they not? What's next question?
Should people care more about doing the right thing or doing things right?
Oh, you might have to explain that question to me. It's a bit confusing.
It's confusing me,
it's like
too.
The same question twice.
But I think doing things right is like that you see the process through, then it's perfect every step of the way. When doing the right thing, it might be a bit more sloppy, but you're trying and you get to the right purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you could do things right and blow up the planet because you've gone in sequence of building an awesome nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Or you could do the right thing and sort of muddle along trying to make people happy.
Ooh. Yeah.
I don't really have an answer for this one, so we can skip on to the next one.
I quite like process, though.
Yeah. I just quite like trying to make people laugh.
Yeah.
So
now you do.
When I was younger, but now.
Now he's there. Now he's Mr. Bunny Guy.
Oh, here's one for you.
Yes.
Number six.
Ooh.
What one piece of advice would you offer to a newborn infant? Mine would be breathe.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Did you just say yours would be breathe?
Yeah.
Oh, high five. That is, boy, you can't beat that shit. That's gospel. That shit is awesome.
Yeah, I think that maybe...
I could be a doctor.
Breathe or I'm going to smack you on the ass.
Yeah.
Now breathe.
Mine would be something like, I wish you could understand what I'm about to say to you, but you're not going to.
Yeah, I think maybe that
then
one
I'd
could
say
be...
something really deep.
Yeah, well, what about if we did... what piece of advice would you, as you are now, if you could travel back in future, give to your 16-year-old self? I think that's a better one.
I would say... I don't know. What about you? You go first. I'll think about it. I'm thinking.
I'll probably go back and tell myself that I wasn't as deep as I thought I was, and to maybe try and hook up with a girl or two, because
if you
manage to do that in high school, you don't feel like such a loser for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and practice makes perfect.
Yeah, and who cares if you get it wrong? There's plenty more fish in the sea.
Yeah, trial and error.
Yeah, and also don't buy that Holden car that I brought that broke down heaps.
I don't know. There'd be quite a lot. I think I would say stop acting like an 80-year-old, and instead of reading that book, maybe go out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. I might also say to myself, hey, you've started to lose weight. Stick with that. When you discover alcohol, don't think that you need to drink as much beer as you can. And pies are good, but don't need to be a daily source of sustenance.
Oh my God, you just wrote a song there. That was awesome. It was like the... I can't change.
Even if I try.
That was awesome.
Where is the line between insanity and creativity?
It's right here, baby. It's right here.
Yeah. There's your answer, world. Use Damien as your judging stick.
There is no line between creativity and insanity.
Oh, these are just getting stupid now.
What's the next one? Is it just...
What is true happiness? I don't know. How do you achieve true happiness?
I think if you're happy in the moment, like if we were both to say we were pretty happy with our lives right now, that probably is what true happiness is.
Yeah, it'll do.
Yeah, because it'll do. It'll do. Breathe.
Breathe!
Oh, you're like Gandhi.
Why isn't he following my advice? Stop breathing.
Oh, that's not good. No.
Oh, yeah. But then he would start to breathe, people, don't you think?
Yeah.
What? Oh, hold the boat.
Well, I'm holding it.
I'm looking forward to the answer to this one. What things hold you back from doing the things you really want to?
Me.
Yes, go on.
No, that's it.
No, dig deeper. Dig deeper.
I can't dig deeper. It's me. I'm the thing that holds me back.
I would say a lack of money hold me back from doing some of the things I want to do.
Yeah, I like your one better.
But I hold myself back. I don't know, I've got this whole thing where I used to think it was quite funny, and if I'd only had a manager or someone to do all the groundwork for me and I could just walk into places and do stand-up, I think I'd be a much better stand-up comedian than what I am now, left to my own devices. Of course, I also am holding back on that because I don't have the confidence to approach a manager, and if I did, I would want to still be in control of the situation.
So well, you should just be your own manager.
Yeah, but then again, we go back to the thing of I don't have any idea how to get anything done and don't really want to phone lots of places. I hate phoning people.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a phoner. I'm a texter, actually. I love texting.
Yeah. And as we go forward in the future, maybe more deals can be done via text. But as it stands at the minute, some people like to talk to you.
Texting will be crap. I mean, in the future, I reckon our great-grandkids are going to be saying to us, I can't believe you're still texting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you just send mind messages?
Yeah, mind messages would be good.
Yeah, I'd probably mishear them, and I'd do mime messages. What's he doing? Oh, he's pretending he's climbing over a gate again.
That would be cool.
I'm going to skip some of these.
Alright, good. Just the good ones.
Oh, Damien, here's one for us. What makes a good friend?
You, David.
Thank you, Damien. You, Damien.
Thank you, David. It's true, though.
Uh, Man, is that stupid. Oh, if money cannot buy happiness, we're quite focused on money today. Can you ever be truly happy with no money?
Yeah, I think so.
Just as someone rich is feeding you all the time and giving you a house to live in.
Oh my god, I love those days when you used to have a benefactor. Like, way back in the day. Like, if you were an artist and you had a talent like a comedian.
Yeah.
Then you'd have a benefactor that would kind of pay your way. And then they kind of bask in your glory as well. Yeah. That'd be cool. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. I wouldn't be so fine if it was the other way, that you had no money and nothing and were living in a pile of dirt. And that would be... I'm sure you could find moments of happiness, but don't imagine you'd be very happy.
I think, though, that if you're doing something that you absolutely love, then you'll enjoy that moment. You probably won't enjoy the time after that where you've done it and you didn't get anything from it and you're still poor. But, you know, while you're actually doing that thing that you love, like while you're standing up there in front of the crowd, giving your stand-up performance, you're loving it. But it's when you go home from that and maybe you've got some kids and a partner to feed, and then it gets a bit... But I don't know, it's the thing of, should you go with your dream, or should you go with money?
Yeah. Yeah, it's both. And I'm actually quite comfortable with people selling out. I just know I would.
Oh, what about, was it Rage Against the Machine? Do you think they sold out?
Well, I just think, once you have things you want, it's really hard to stay angry and write angry stuff, right? Like Alanis Morissette. That first album was pretty angry and really cool. I really liked
it.
And then she sort of started singing, thanking people for stuff. And maybe that was actually truly irony, where she wasn't really thanking them. Rather than ironic. No, it's just a bit stupid. But,
yeah, it wasn't ironic.
Yeah.
All these life questions. I don't know.
Oh, here's one for you, Damien, the last one.
Last one?
Yeah. Where were people before they were born?
I always think of, where were people before they were born? See, I want to say in their mother's tummy, and then before that I want to say in their daddy's penis, like a sperm.
And their mummy's ovaries,
And before that, I don't know, I'm not a Scientologist, so I don't believe that we're all kind of just there.
Yeah. Yeah, I
Or aliens.
I wonder about, well, not so much about that, but I wonder in general why when people say, you know, in a previous life, they were never like, in a previous life, I was a dumb sucker. Like, it's always, oh, in a previous life, I was a princess of the Navajo.
Yeah, I was a queen or a king.
Yeah.
Were you a princess of the Navajo tribe? Is that what you just said? I heard you right. I was talking over it, but I was still listening. You were a Navajo princess?
Yeah, I keep... and there's probably, in the Navajo, there's probably nothing like a princess as well. So it's insulting to a culture I know nothing about, and I have given myself a female identity, yes. Why does it have to be strictly to the gender that I am now, I ask you?
That's right, you're right. You could be like a fly.
Exactly.
Not Navajo princess fly, but just a normal fly. A queen bee. You could have been a queen bee.
Could have been the queen bee.
That's right.
You know, I don't know. I personally don't believe I was anything.
You were nothing.
I was nothing.
You are nothing.
But if I was to think about what I did in a previous life to end up how I am now, if it's always about being opposites.
Think about it this way, though. Don't think about what you were. Think about the person that's going to be you. Like, the person that their past life is you.
Oh, man.
That's going to be sad for me. Yeah.
If I go along and they'll be sitting next to someone in one of those booths where people tell them what they were, and they'll say to the person next to them, you're a Navajo princess. And then I'll turn to this person and say, you were a guy who thought he was funny and had premature balding and... Yeah. You know, was a good man, but didn't really do that much with his life.
It was an OT.
Noble job.
Which probably where the Indian came from.
Yeah, likes to listen to Dave Matthews.
That's right.
And,
I suppose the question about this, it all comes down to this. Would you be happy for someone in the future to have you as their past life? Would you be...
I think it would be a stepping stone if they had a lot of other past lives. And they're like, yeah, at one point I was just this slob who was an OT.
Loved his food.
He was a cool dude. Yeah, loved his food. And, you know, had no hair, but that's cool. But then in another life before that, I was King of France.
That's right. Not then, the short one.
Then I think that would be all right. But if my life was the highlight in someone's future, then that I feel sorry for those guys. Yeah, I was a dung beetle, and then I was a tapeworm, and then I was I was this guy.
Yeah, he's really cool. He had a podcast. He made this movie.
He had a podcast that seven people listened to.
And he had a best friend.
And they did a thing together. Oh, I think I was his best friend in a previous life. And now I'm a dung beetle. Oh, you've gone full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe that will be the thing in the future when people are like back to their lives. It won't be a person talking about their favourite past life. It'll be like two birds. Exactly. Where was that? It's really hard to whistle when you're laughing as well.
I would just like to point out then that two birds did not come into the room.
You may not believe that.
Just us. We're not the guy of Police Academy. That's for you, Honey Badger. We are actually...
Hey, that guy of Police Academy is offering his services to Peter Jackson to do sound effects in the Hobbit film.
My axe!
It's the only sound effect I can do, actually, Peter.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, could you do a dragon now?
I'm a dragon!
There was fire.
Okay, now we're a battle scene. Ching, 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 ching.
Now, Peter, we're going to overlay all of my single noises into a soundscape of noises. Oh, thank you, Michael. That sounds great.
Ding, 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 ding. Biff, suck, pow, 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 suck, pow.
You do know, Peter, that my speciality is the helicopter. So if you need that in any of your Lord of the Ring movies.
What's that, Peter? A water drip. I just hit myself in the head and blew air out of my mouth at the same time.
Oh, he tours the world doing that, though. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
What do you think his concerts like? Some of the guys from work want to go and maybe have a bit of a boys' night and go and see him.
Is he coming to New Zealand?
He's coming to New Zealand!
Oh, is it a boys' night? Oh, yeah, is it a boys' night out?
You should come down.
Oh, maybe. Sounds better than the last boys' night I went on, which was that fishing trip, which was a boys' day more.
Oh, and that was a man's day, wasn't it? Like, you had to be all manly. That must have been exhausting.
It was really hard.
I find when I'm in front of real men, it's really tiring. And I have to, sometimes I go away to the toilet and go, oh, it's so horrible. Oh, what's going on there? And then you just, you like, let it all out. Then you go back in and go, yep.
Nothing to say to you, really. I was having this discussion with my partner the other day, because she's not from New Zealand, and she said, what's one thing different about Canadian woman than New Zealand woman? Damien, your partner's Canadian. What would you say the biggest difference is?
I don't want to get New Zealand women into trouble. What is the difference? I don't know. They've got accents.
Good. Good choice. Better to have gone with that than what I went with.
Yeah. What did you say?
I generally find Canadian women are much more picky than New Zealand women.
They really are!
And then I focus mainly on the dining experience with my partner. She always, no matter what is presented in front of her, she has to add a sauce to it or a flavour or something.
Yeah.
And whereas being in Kiwi, it's like what's put in front of you, you just eat it and you're really grateful. You might add salt.
Yeah, we're just happy to go out.
Yeah. And then it's really insulting to keep asking for more and more stuff.
Yeah.
So that was what I focused on. And then I said to her, what's the difference between New Zealand men and Canadian men? And she said, our Canadian men share their feelings more and are more affectionate.
Yeah, I think that's true, because I shut up on the brick wall.
I'm a stone man.
Yeah. I don't do that shit.
Unless we're somewhere that it's just us and there's definitely no camera on me and no one can hear, I'm not sharing my feelings with anyone.
Yeah, and what I do, though, is I will share my feelings. It'll just be at really odd times. I'll just say, like, this sausage is really hurt, like I was the other day. And then that's it. It's over. There's nothing more to say. We don't need to break into that. I was a wee bit hurt the other day. I'm going to tell you by mentioning the sausage that I'm eating. And then it's done. Over. I don't need anything else.
Is it really over, though?
It's over.
Is that not part of your sulk?
Yeah, it might be part of my sulk. Maybe it'll come back next time I eat another sausage, because I'll be remembered by that moment where I was hurt.
Good.
But pretty much, brick wall.
Yeah.
But so, that's a Kiwi thing, though, isn't it? Kiwi men, we don't like talking...
No.
...about stuff.
No.
No.
Well, feelings. We like talking about stuff, like sports.
Oh, yeah. Sports, great. Love it.
And if you can somehow work sports into feelings, then that's okay, maybe.
I remember when we watched a World Cup together.
Yeah.
I'm talking on the phone because we weren't in the same town, but that New Zealand lost. And I felt a lot of very sad emotion. It was disbelief.
Yeah.
Because we lost to a team we shouldn't have lost to, and we got kicked out of the World Cup. That was sad. There was a lot of emotion there.
Yeah.
And I think Kiwi guys can... That's how we kind of channel our emotion. Is
yeah, sport. Attach emotion to events.
Yeah. Or maybe when you're fixing something like a car, you go, oh, this carburetor won't get fixed properly!
I'm impressed that you knew a thing for a car.
Oh, man, there were so many words going through my head like banana.
Yeah. Oh, man, this... apple cherry blossom isn't fixed properly.
This pink. Yeah. It must be hard to be manly, though. It's hard to be...
I think that's nature versus nurture right there. You got to have some genes that are programmed to being manly. They're not anywhere near me.
No.
And then you need to be put in an environment where those genes can grow.
No, I remember at high school I had a lovely pair of leather trousers that I wore.
Yeah.
They weren't very manly.
No, I remember going out onto a friend's farm with him and trying to do farm jobs, and they had pairs of overalls, and then I went through four in a day because...
they got dirty?
Yeah, the first one, he said, just jump over this fence with me, and he leapt over the fence, and I caught my foot on the top rung of it and just fell in a pile of poo. And then the second one, he was like, oh, can you pick up that sheep over there that's cast by the creek and just bring it back to me? I picked up the sheep, and it was a bit heavy, and we both fell into the creek.
Did you drown a sheep?
I didn't drown it, it lived.
Where was that story when you were talking about saving lives? Hey? Where was that story?
I did mouth to mouth on it.
That's a New Zealand thing as well. We'd much rather give mouth to mouth to a sheep than we would to an actual person.
What else did I do on that one? I think I just slipped over walking down a hill. And then we went out trying to shoot rabbits, and I couldn't. So I just pointed the gun at it. I was like, yep. And I didn't have a single rabbit all day. And yeah, just nothing manly at all. I was never, didn't really spend any time on that farm again after that.
Some guys took me out hunting in Canada. And we're up, it was just beautiful, real mountaintop, lovely. And they said, oh, I'll take the gun and go and see if you can find any animals to shoot. And I'm like, oh, sweet, that sounds really manly and fun. So I went around and I saw this squirrel. And I was like, oh, it's the most beautiful, because squirrels, we don't have them here.
Yeah.
And so it was like a wee baby squirrel, and it wasn't scared of humans.
Yeah.
So it stood on this wee rock and just looked at me, and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. And I couldn't even get to the point where I would point the gun at this. I couldn't do it. In my head, I had the thought, you should point the gun, and then I had to stop myself and go, no, you shouldn't. It's too cute. And it even went so far that I wanted to yell out to the guys to come and look at the cute squirrel. Guys, come and look at it. It's just staring at me.
But you knew if you called them, they would have gunned that thing down.
They would shoot the squirrel. Yeah, and then they would not stop until that squirrel was dead. So I let it run away.
Go. I've got your back.
I may have done a manly... I think I shot the gun in the air.
Yeah.
Yep, and I tried... to stay right away.
Then the bullet came down and hit you.
The bullet come down? I was thinking that. Like, if I shoot this up in the air, will it come down at some point?
Yes. That's a philosophical question.
Yep, I'm a hunter. Hunter-gatherer. That's me. Well, that's
good. Well, I remember I went shooting once, and I'm not really good, but I just watched a lot of Hollywood films, right? So I had the gun out, and I had my eye right against the gun sight, and then I pulled the trigger, and it... recoil back into my eye and I gave myself a black eye. That's not cool.
That's Rambo, that.
Yeah.
That is Rambo.
John Rambo. Ah!
You should have split open a bullet, poured the stuff in your eye, and then lit it just to heal yourself.
Yeah, or weld my eye shut.
That's what John Rambo would have done.
Often I find myself asking that question. What would Rambo do in this situation?
Yeah, I think that too when I'm teaching. What would Rambo do when his kids won't stop talking? He'd be kind of cool. Cause
couldn't shoot a squirrel, but a cheeky student. Maybe.
And he'd be like, which would be kind of cool.
And they'd know that they were in trouble every time he started putting a bandana on. Oh, wait a second.
Oh, Mr.
Gone too far.
Oh, he's got his bandana out.
Yeah.
Oh, he's putting on some of that army makeup.
Yeah. He's either going to do an 80s aerobics routine.
Yep, he's putting on his leg muffs. He definitely is doing the routine.
Oh, here he goes again.
No, please.
We've seen the grapevine for ages, Mr. Brittany. Let's move on to something else. Have you seen CrossFit? Have you never seen the CrossFit games on ESPN when you're watching them? It's like the new fitness craze sweeping the world.
I know about CrossFit because this really fit guy at school, every time someone mentions something, he says, you should CrossFit. It's the way of the future.
Yeah.
So I might say, I'm having this chocolate cake for breakfast. And he goes, you should CrossFit. It's the way of the future.
Yeah.
And then I eat my cake.
Yeah.
And go, I'm definitely on that.
It's pretty full on, though. I was watching another dude, it's all about using your body sort of against you and stuff like that, but like push-ups and handstands combined.
Every time I walk, I'm using my body against me.
Yeah.
Because part of my body just wants to sit down, like my stomach.
Yeah.
And it has to move, and then it won't stop moving. And then I start puffing.
Yeah.
I puff when I walk up just a gentle incline.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not worth laughing at, David.
Sorry, David. I was just thinking, I look at inclines and I'm like, maybe we should go get the car to drive up that.
I like gentle incline, though, because you can tell that it's not even an incline. It's just...
Yeah,
basically flat.
But after walking an hour up it, you can turn around and see that you've gone up a metre.
Oh, yeah, it's Tour de France.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be climbing that shit. Gentle incline. Today, in Wellington, there'll be a gentle incline for Damien and Dave to climb up.
Who's got the yellow jersey?
Mine would be
King of the Mountain!
Have you ever worked out so hard that you throw up?
Nearly. But I stop myself from working out. I'm starting to feel a bit sick. I better stop. Yourself?
Yeah, no, I have. When I did aerobics, I went to an aerobics class with my auntie, and it was just going so hard, and I just eaten beforehand, and I didn't realise that you couldn't do that, and so we were going real hard, and then at just a point, it just started shooting up, and so I went, I'm really busting, so I ran out and threw up outside, and then went back and finished the routine.
Oh, good. At least you finished the routine.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Of course I did.
How old were you when you did this?
Oh, yeah, I was young. I was 15, 16. It was when I could finish routines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we've covered philosophical reasoning there. So probably some stuff you to take out of that, avid listeners.
Yeah, take it out.
We look forward to hearing your philosophical why do they make it so hard to pronounce? Philosophical discussion.
I don't know, because when you started saying it, I shut off. So there must be like a twofold thing, that it's such a deep word that if you can get through it, you're in.
Good.
You are there. You are philosophical. But if you can't get through that word, like I couldn't just then you're probably not a deep person.
Yeah. Or if you're a guy... Oh, no, this is just going to go bad places. If you're a guy who's got a lot of heartburn issues, you might be philosophical.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Thanks.
It's good.
All right, stay dandy.
Stay dandy.
Peace out, homies.